Read somewhere several weeks ago that in the Bible there's over 250 names or titles that are given to Jesus. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's our advocate. He's altogether lovely. He's the bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the Word, the offspring of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah. This morning, I want to pick one of those titles. It's one I didn't put in that list, but it's one that's found in the scripture that we read, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." What's a mediator? Mediator is somebody that goes between two people that have a dispute. In our day and time, our Secretary of States have served as mediators between countries. Our president has served as mediators. Mom and dad sometimes have to serve as mediators between brothers or brothers and sisters. But this morning I want to speak on the one mediator that there is between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, Daniel, I would like you and David to come up here and help me if you would this morning. You know, it's not too often that both of you are here, and I don't want to, because you're, you know, away at college and stuff like that. And so while you're here, I'm going to take advantage of you. If Daniel, you'd come over here and just stand over there. And then David, if you'd come stand right there for me. I want to illustrate this morning what I'm talking about, why we need a mediator, and move over a little bit closer, Dave, and why Jesus is the only one that will work. You see, a mediator is called in when two people have a dispute between themselves that they cannot reconcile themselves. And I'm sure, I mean, I won't ask Dave or Pam, but I don't know if you guys have ever had that as brothers where, you know, you had a dispute that you couldn't reconcile yourself, or maybe you took it outside and tried to reconcile it. The smiles might indicate that maybe there was one or two times like that. I'm going to let David represent God this morning. I'm going to let Daniel represent man. And he's going to start out by representing Adam. Because you see, when man was created, come closer, there was a fellowship between God and man. They were close. You guys are not fighting this morning, are you? Okay, good. They were close. And in fact, God created man to fellowship with. That was part of his plan, to fellowship with man. And he put him in the Garden of Eden and said, "Look, I made this all for you. I want you to enjoy it. There's only one rule that I have, and I know most everybody here knows what that rule is." He says, "I've made everything in this garden for you, but the tree that's in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's mine. I don't want you to eat of it, because in the day that you eat of it, ye shall die." Now, Adam ate of that fruit. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story this morning. You know, Eve ate it first and then gave it to Adam. But when he disobeyed God, there was a wedge that came between them and separated them. And many people read the Bible and say, "Well, I can tell the Bible's not true in the very first chapter of Genesis, or in the first three chapters of Genesis, because Adam ate that fruit and he didn't die." I mean, God kicked him out of the garden, but he didn't drop over dead like that. And I want to help you if you're in that category this morning. The Bible is true. Adam did die. He died spiritually. He was separated from his creator. When sin came in, God had to kick him out of the garden. He expelled him from the garden, and he was separated from God, and he died spiritually. And so, by the way, all of us, when Adam sinned, became sinners as well. Let me just illustrate. Let me give you a couple examples. And somebody help me. When a daddy frog and a mama frog get together and they have babies, what do they have? Tadpoles. And what does tadpoles turn into? Frogs. Okay, good. And when a rooster and a hen get together and have a little baby, what do they have? A chick. A little chicken. And when you got the drift. When two sinners get together and they have an offspring, what do you think they have? They have a sinner. Huh? They have a sinner. Oh, I'd say, "Preacher, don't you believe that little babies go to heaven?" Yes, I do. I believe little babies, before they reach that age of accountability, before they tell the difference in right and wrong, if God takes them, he takes them right to heaven. But every single person that has a sinner for a daddy and a sinner for a mama has a sin nature, and there comes a point in their life where they have to make a decision between right and wrong, and they know the difference between right and wrong. They choose wrong, they become a sinner. Because you see, all of us were in Adam. We were in Adam in the Garden of Eden. Let me illustrate it this way. I'm going to put my notes in my Bible. Let's say I put my Bible in a package and I mail it to New York City. Where does this piece of paper go? To New York City. Let's say that that my Bible gets in a fire and burns up. What happens to this piece of paper? It burns up too. You see, when I was in Adam in the Garden of Eden, and so was every single person. And when Adam sinned, I was in that sin. And when he died spiritually, I died spiritually. I got that human sinful nature from my great, 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 and you add all the other greats, Grandpa, from Adam, and that makes me have that sin nature, and that makes me, when I come to that decision where I know the difference between right and wrong, and I choose wrong, that makes me a sinner. Now, because I'm a sinner, now Daniel's role is going to expand. He's not only Adam, he represents all of us. There's a gap between man and God. There's a dispute that left by themselves, they cannot resolve. Daniel might say, I know I'm separated from God. I know there's something missing in my life. I want to get back together with God. What I'll do is I will go and I will undo every sin I've ever committed. Every sin I've ever done, I will go back and make it right. Do you remember every sin you've ever committed? Me neither. There's too many of them. I couldn't go back and make them all right because I can't remember them all. And neither can you. There was a man lay dying on a battlefield, and another soldier came up to him and said, "Can I do anything for you?" And he said, "No, I don't need anybody to do anything for me. I need somebody to undo some things for me." See, just like we cannot undo our sins, and none of us can, and we know we need to get back to God, but there's nothing that we can do. We can't undo our sins. We can't be good enough. You can't go to church. You can't get baptized. All those things are works, and the Bible says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, here's God. You would say, "Well, God can do anything He wants. He can overcome this gap if He wants to." I will remind you that God wants to overcome that gap. He wants to get back with man. He loves us. But God is a God of justice, and God's justice has to be satisfied. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And even though God loves us, even though God wants to have fellowship with us, as long as we are in our sin, there is nothing that God can do because He's God. That's why we need a mediator. We need somebody that comes between man and God and can take care of what they both need. Because you see, that's what a mediator does. A mediator comes between two parties that have an irresolvable dispute, and as he solves that dispute, he takes both parties' interest into mind. You see, let's say David and Daniel were just fussing about something as brothers, and they said, "Preacher, we'd like you to be our mediator." If I went to Daniel and I said, "Okay, Daniel, tell me what the problem is," and Daniel tells me what the problem is, I said, "Hey, I can fix this. I know exactly what needs to happen." I go over to say Dave and say, "Dave, you were wrong. You need to go and apologize to Daniel. He's in the right." Here's what David would say. "You didn't even listen to my story. You know, there's two sides to every story. He didn't tell you the whole story. How can you be a mediator if you only take his interest into mine? Listen to my side of the story." That's what a mediator has to do. He has to see what man needs. He has to see what God needs. God needs for somebody to pay for this sin. You say, "Well, God's God. He could just wave his hand and forgive all sin." I guess he could. But he's a God of justice. And when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, somebody has to pay the price for sin. Now, Daniel could say, All right, I'm a sinner. I'll pay the price for my sin. But what that price is he has to, he's already dead spiritually. He has to stay that way forever. Now think about it. That's what the price of sin is, to be separated from God forever. And when this body dies, the people that are not together with God go to hell. I mean, they go to that place that was prepared for Satan and his angels. They go to that place where it's a bottomless pit, where it's dark, where there's no light, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where it's a place of fire. You say, well, preacher, I don't think you should talk about hell. Why not? The Bible does. Why not? Jesus does. There's a penalty for our sin. And it's not just the fact that we're going to just cease to exist. It's not just the fact that we're going to go to a place and live for a certain amount of time and then God's going to forget it all and he'll take us all to heaven. That's not in this book. The wages of sin is death. That's why it's so important to have a mediator. That's why it's so important for somebody to come between man and God. It's not a trivial matter. It's not a little matter. It's an eternal matter. It's a matter that every single person needs to look square in the face this morning and answer the question, am I right with my God? I mean, is my relationship with God right? Are we in fellowship or are we separated by our sin? And so the mediator comes. He listens to God's side. I love man. I want to have fellowship with him. But somebody has to pay for their sins. I just can't forgive them. Somebody has to pay the price. The price needs to be paid. And then the mediator goes to man. And man says, I know I need to get back to God. I know that that's what I was made for, to fellowship with God. But I don't know what to do. My only option to pay for my sin is to die and go to hell. And I don't want to do that. And so the mediator steps in with a solution. The mediator, the man, notice the words in the Bible are important. The man, Christ Jesus. It didn't say the God, Christ Jesus, even though he was God. It says the man, Christ Jesus. Because Jesus had to be a man to serve as our mediator. And what the mediator did was that he took all of our sins on himself. Every single one of them. When Jesus went to the cross, he was the worst sinner that ever lived. Not because of any sin that he did. He was perfect, in all points tempted like as we, the Bible says, yet without sin. But he went to the cross as the worst sinner that ever lived because God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins and laid them on him. Put them on Christ, every single one of them. All the ones that I can remember, all the ones I can't remember, all the ones I asked forgiveness for and all the ones I didn't ask forgiveness for, every single one of them he laid on Christ. And Christ went to the cross. And satisfying God's justice, he died for my sins. And he died for your sins. Now, for a mediator to be successful, both parties have to be willing. They have to be willing. They have to agree on what the mediator does. I will tell you without any hesitation that God is willing. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's willing. He's saying, your death on Calvary is sufficient. Your death on Calvary pays for the sins of all humankind. Every single person that's ever lived, those in the Old Testament, those in New Testament times, your death on Calvary, he says to Jesus, is sufficient to pay for every single sin. God's willing. He's willing. Now, the question is man? Is man? Is man willing to take the mediator? Is man willing to come by the way of the mediator? Let's say that I get a disease. And the doctor tells me and says, 5 or 6 weeks, you're going to die. There's no known cure for this disease. 5 or 6 weeks, you're going to die. 4 weeks go by, and they announce a breakthrough. We've discovered this drug. It's a little pill that if you take it, it will cure the disease that you have. When they make that offer to me, I say, well, I have a hard time taking pills. I don't think I'll take the pill. I think I'll just try to see what God's going to do in my life. So I'm not going to take it. 2 weeks later, I die. Now, why did I die? Because I had the disease? No. Because I didn't take the pill. That's why I died. I had a chance for life. I had a chance to live. But I refused to take the cure that was offered to me. When a sinner dies and goes to hell, why do they go to hell? Because they're a sinner? No. Hey, I'm a sinner and I'm not going to hell. Why do they go to hell? Because they're a sinner? No. Because they refused to take the cure. They refused to take the mediator. They refused to come to Jesus Christ. In fact, when a person goes to hell, he steps over everything that God has done for them to try to keep them out of hell. If you're here today and you're not saved, and you walk out of here this morning not saved, this is one of the things that God's put in your life to try to get your attention. I mean, this service is for you this morning. If you're here today and you're not saved, the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, hey, listen to that preacher. He's telling you the truth. You're a sinner headed for hell. And Jesus is the only way to keep you out. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And we want to put our spin on it. We want to put our ideas on it. We'll say, well, I'll do something good, or I'll lead a good, clean, moral life, or I'll join a church, or I'll get baptized. And all those things are good things, and we ought to do them. But you listen to me, there's nothing going to keep you out of hell but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why that verse says, there is one mediator between God and man. There's no parent, there's no preacher, there's no Sunday school teacher, there's no grandpa or grandma that can be a mediator between God and man. Now we can tell you about the one that is, but there's nothing that we can do to keep you out of hell. In fact, there's nothing else that needs to be done to keep you out of hell. Jesus did it all. That's why he said on Calvary, it is finished. It's done. The price has been paid. The mediator has come between God and man and bridged the gap. And if man is willing, he can come back and fellowship with God. Thank you, guys. So let me ask you this morning, are you willing? Now, I know many people here this morning already have. You've already taken the mediator. You've already taken Jesus Christ. You maybe you didn't say these exact words, but you said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I believe that when Christ died on Calvary, he died for me. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. And the Bible says if we come to him, he'll no wise cast us out. He'll take every single one of us, from the worst of sinners to the best of sinners. You've heard me say before, how many sins does it take to make a sinner a sinner? Just one. Just one. We break the law at one point, we're guilty of all. We stand before God. All of our goodness looks like filthy rags. But he'll take every single one of us if we come. And if you walk out of this place this morning headed for hell, if you die this week and go to hell, is because you said no this morning to Jesus. As I said when I was talking about Brother Earl, I don't know how people make it that don't know Christ. I just don't know. How can you walk out this door this morning? How can you live this week knowing that if something happens to you, you're going to be separated from God forever? I beg you this morning, if that's your state, please change it. If that's the condition of your heart this morning, please change it. Say, how do I change it? It's easy. You come to Christ. You come to Jesus. He'll save you if you're willing. He's willing. Are you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the straightforward, simple gospel of the Bible. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die in our place. Thank you that you deemed his death sufficient to pay for every single one of our sins. And Father, I pray for every person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, that they'll make that decision to receive him. Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would touch their hearts this morning, touch their minds, help them to understand that they are a sinner, and there's no hope apart from Christ. He's the only way. And I pray, Father, you'd help them to come this morning. If there's Christians that are here, maybe somebody needs to come for baptism, maybe for church membership. Father, you know what's on our hearts. You know what you're telling us to do, and I pray you'd help us to be obedient this morning. Bless the invitation. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a couple of verses of 390.